Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
All right, good evening, everybody. It is Thursday. That's right, we've almost gotten through the entire week. One more day left for most of you, but today is my Friday, so pat on the back. I got through my week. Thanks for hanging out with me again tonight. We're going to get into some good news, but before we do, we have to mourn the loss of someone who is heavily influential in the battle for LGBTQIA rights. Dr. Richard Green has passed away. He is a name that most people are not familiar with, but he was the first psychiatrist to speak out against labeling homosexuality as a mental disorder. Not everyone knows this, but prior to 1972, the diagnostic manual that is utilized for insurance billing and actually is what legitimizes what's seen as a mental illness contained homosexuality as a pathology and a disease and a disorder to be cured. Richard Green, who was heterosexual, was one of the first people to battle and try to remove that diagnosis and put out an infamous article in the International Journal of Psychiatry in 1972 and basically took issue with the premise that homosexuality is a disease or that a homosexual is psychologically inferior. And about a year later, the American Psychiatric Association then removed the diagnosis of homosexuality from the diagnostic manual. That is massive. And this guy did a whole lot more. He also eventually went and got a law degree and use that to continue to support LGBTQIA rights, and also did some work with the ACLU. So Richard Green's passed away. Again, he did a lot for the community, so we want to definitely mourn his loss and just take a second to acknowledge all the work that he did. We don't have a lot of awesome allies, and we got to really honor those that came before and, you know, kind of help pave the way. So thank you, Dr. Green. All right, good news. I had to reread this name a couple times just to make sure I was nailing it, because drag queens come up with some really witty names, but they're not always very available right off the bat when you're looking at them. Maybe a girl. I had to really keep rereading that. Becomes the first drag queen elected to office in California. I love that I'm alive at a time when there are people with their drag persona being elected into office. I really, truly love these things, because talk about radical and authenticity. You can't go much further than that. So Los Angeles-based drag performer Maybe a Girl, who identifies as both genderqueer and non-binary, congrats, love that, has been elected to the Silver Lake Neighborhood Council. It's the first drag performer to be voted into public office in the state. Love it, love it, love it. Maybe a Girl says, and I quote, "I'm honored to be the first drag queen elected official here in LA, and I believe in all of California and the West Coast. I can't wait to use my platform to advance the LGBTQ community and provide visibility for those that have historically been kept in the shadows of society." That is stunning. Sticking with a similar topic, it's interesting to see some of these really well-known household brands pushing their way into inclusion and representation. And we had Gillette, who did a really controversial ad that was trying to battle toxic masculinity. It was phenomenal. And now a brand called Harry's Shaving Company, which I'm very familiar with, and if you aren't, become. They just put out a new ad which casually features a trans man shaving. Very clearly a trans man shaving. You can see the scars from his top surgery. And the ad says, it's titled "Shave or Don't," and the ad highlights the many reasons people choose to shave or choose not to, as well as the transformative power of presenting your authentic self. This quote is beautiful. They said, "You can shave to feel like you. You can shave to feel like another you. You can shave because you are finally, finally home." I love that. So again, just more normalization of diverse bodies and identities and sexualities. Powerful. You know, I know nothing about beauty and fashion, so I love when I comment on it and talk about it. But Nikita Dragon has launched the first trans-owned beauty brand and is going to exclusively cater to the trans community. Can't say much more about it because I don't know anything about makeup, but just wanted to give a shout out. Again, always trying to support all those kinds of movements and things that push forward, because, you know, this is cultural shift and change. And I'm so thankful that we're going to look back, I hope, while I'm still alive, and just see a multitude of shows and products and ads that support diversity. And we're going to wonder what took so long, right? There was a time when none of these things existed, right? So it's just really, 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 really powerful. So later in the show, we're going to be doing our Sex Ed Showdown. We tried to pull that off on Tuesday night, but we had technical difficulties. So we're going to be going back to our game. For those that have stuck around with us, we have our Loveland game night. It is now called Sex Ed Showdown, where we'll have two listeners going head to head for a Channel Q prize package. And we got a question of the night up, which, what did we wind up choosing for the question of the night?
Describe your sex life.
So our question tonight's up on our Loveline IG, and tonight's is, describe your sex life via a movie or song title. Oh, yes. Movie titles. It's going to be good. All right, we're going to take a little break. See you back.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline. We'll be right back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Loveline.
This is Loveline
with Dr. Chris.
On Channel Q.
Loveline question of the night's up on our IG page. It's, what song describes your sex life? Oh, it's going to be good. I got to sit and think about mine. What sex life these days? Dr. D's working way too much. What song is about that? Give us a call, 833-LOVE-001, 833-LOVE-001. Thoughts, questions, or you just want to hang out with me. But we're going to talk about a controversial topic. It's a really, really, really important one, and I don't want to scare you with some of these stats, but I think it's really important to kind of enter with an understanding as to where we're at, and it's about STDs. And it's something that has to be discussed for any human being that's being sexual out in the world, even if you're in a committed monogamous relationship, and here's why. 80% of the adult population in the U.S. has oral herpes, 80%. That's HSV-1. Genital herpes is about 1 in 6. And asymptomatic infections, again, that's infections where there are no symptoms, 85% of those people have not been diagnosed because they're asymptomatic. And so if you're a sexual being out in the world, most likely you've come in contact or are positive for. And that's why it's an important conversation, because people are so panicked often around STDs and STIs, but they're quite common. And again, you've come in contact with them. And as I always say, most are treatable and curable. And you should be more worried about sick babies, doorknobs, and airplanes, because those infections and bacteria will keep you pooping your pants and stuff coming out of your nose for a week, where most STDs and STIs, you get a shot in the butt, a pill, and you're back to life in 20 minutes. However, the more important topic centers around not only how and when do I disclose if I've come up positive for something, but also what do you do when someone comes to you and they disclose? So I want to enter from that perspective. The first thing is, you want to really come forward with a thank you, because this is something that takes a lot of courage and a lot of confidence for someone to disclose that to their possible partner, especially upon first meeting. And it's an act of care. So say thank you when someone tells you something as vulnerable and as caring as, hi, I need to let you know that I am positive for an STD, and they disclose what it is. So what do you then do? Well, the first step is, like I said, say thank you, literally, or at least in your body language and your tone. After that, just be an active listener. Again, recognizing that care and empathy are needed, because this person's making a disclosure that has a lot of social stigma. Then you want to be careful of the language you use. And I'm constantly trying to talk to people about this, where one of the going words that people sling around, and you'll see a lot of this online, is they'll talk about being clean. And that implies that you're dirty if you've come up positive. And no one that has come up positive for an STD deserves to be made to feel bad. It's not something someone necessarily seeks out. And it could be any of us. And like I said, you yourself, the person might be judging people who are positive. You might be, but just are asymptomatic. And so remember that. So we want to be careful about the language and not use things like, are you clean? It's just, you are positive for something. And your question is, when have you last been tested? You also want to just really be part of changing the conversation around how we engage these topics. We want to get away from the negative stereotypes, but more importantly, we want to make it safe so that people can talk about these things. And if you're making those jokes, because again, people are far too comfortable making herpes jokes and STD jokes, and it's not funny. I work with a lot of clients who are struggling to find confidence in being in the dating and the sex world once finding out that they're positive for something, things that aren't curable. So we want to be part of that. Also, do your homework, do the research, and really understand what sets someone up to possibly be susceptible to contracting these things. Because again, we can talk about certain forms of protection, but that doesn't necessarily protect you from everything. And being a sexual being means you're taking a risk. And that's why we don't talk about safe sex. We talk about safer sex, taking all the possible precautions, such as condom use. And so the other big question that comes up around this is how and when do you tell someone if you yourself are positive for something? And the answer I always give is when you're putting someone at risk. If it's an initial date or you first start talking, I don't think it's a good idea to anxiously disclose things that might be hard for other people to hear because one, they don't know you. And once someone has gotten to know you, they're more willing to possibly stick around and work through something like a disclosure of an STD. Also, you don't know this person and people have to earn your trust around triggering topics. And you don't want to just be disclosing to people that you don't necessarily know or trust because you don't know what they're going to do with this information. And again, we live in a culture that highly stigmatizes that. So it's, you know, again, my rule is you disclose when you are going to set someone up to maybe contract it, meaning you're going to be sexual. Also, it really does fall into the topic of consent. No one can really consent to sex if they don't understand what kind of sex is going to take place and what might be coming along with that sex. And so part of understanding consent is letting people know what they're going to be coming in contact with. And how you tell, that's probably the biggest question. And the answer is by just telling. There's no really beautiful, powerful way to make that disclosure. You just want to yourself make sure you are confident and you've done your own homework. So you're aware of what the risks are and the ways to practice safer sex around that. And then you just make that disclosure. And you hope that the person on the receiving end is empathetic and compassionate and says thank you for telling them. But it's a tough one. So I'm there with you. I know it's not an easy thing to talk about. All right. When we come back, we're going to be talking about alcohol versus marijuana because we used to believe that marijuana was a gateway drug. Well, guess what? Turns out it's not. And they'll be signing into our DMs. And later we'll be doing our Sex Ed Showdown where two listeners go head to head to win a Channel Q prize package.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline. We'll be right back. Loveline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Question of the night is up on our Loveline IG page. It's songs, song titles that describe your sex life. Oh, these are always good ones. So weigh in on that, our Loveline IG page and follows back. I'll be breaking that down later in the show. And as always, busting down some DMs. But if you got a question, give us a call. 833-LOVE-001. 833-LOVE-001. Anything we've talked about prior, talking about now, I always want to hear from you. I want to know your thoughts. Hang out with me. Okay, so we're going to break down a topic that's really important to me. It's basically about rules for dealing with tattooed people. But before we get into that, and I've got a lot of backstories for that one, we're going to talk about marijuana and alcohol. It's always fascinating where when I was growing up, marijuana was always perceived as a scary monster that is the gateway to everything. I think the younger generations aren't so familiar with that because there's been more of a lax and lessening on the tightness around the use of, you know, marijuana and whatnot. But basically, the new studies are showing that it's actually alcohol. And we've seen that. We've seen the studies where marijuana deaths are zero and alcohol deaths are are exponentially overwhelming in terms of everything from DUI to home accidents. And also, it's one of the top causes of domestic violence. But basically, the theory of the gateway drug being marijuana, it's alcohol. And students who drink alcohol have an elevated risk of using illicit drugs, right? So it follows a progression from standard substances to alcohol to then the illicit ones. And this was kind of interesting. Alcohol and cigarettes are more likely to precede opiate abuse as well. So it's alcohol and cigarettes that are a little more dangerous, a little more gateway-y. Not surprising though, right? Not surprising. Okay, so how do we deal with boundaries around people that have tattoos? You might be thinking, how's this even an important topic? I'll tell you why. As someone who's covered in them, it is not uncommon for me to be standing somewhere socially and all of a sudden just feel a hand on my arm as someone I don't know is just pulling my shirt sleeve up to look at my tattoos. And I got to tell you, from the person being touched, it feels very awkward. It's very uncomfortable. It never feels quote unquote good or appropriate. And it throws me off and scares me. It doesn't always make me feel safe as I swing around. There's some stranger like touching my body. And so it's an important topic. And those that have tattoos know exactly what I'm talking about. So what are the boundaries for respecting another human being's body? And in a time where we have a lot of body modifications, whether it's tattoos or piercings, or even people having different hairstyles and hair colors, there's some rules you got to consider. So the first one is don't touch people. Like, I thought we had that one covered. Don't touch people's hair because you're enjoying the cut, the color, or the texture. But again, going back to tattoos, people, ask. Don't just walk up and touch someone. It's really fascinating is when I've pushed back and said to someone, hey, please don't touch me, they flip it as though I'm the rude one because I'm setting a boundary and defending myself. So don't touch people. Ask. Tattoos, piercings, or a style or texture of hair that you're not familiar with is not permission to touch, right? Also, there's this whole thing about asking about money. How much did that cost? How much would it cost for me to get? I don't know your finances. You don't need to know my finances. And I can't really tell you how much they're going to cost because it's different everywhere you go. Also, and this is just like a little FYI to those single people out there in the world, hitting on someone by asking them about their tattoos is the least interesting and is the least sexy thing to do. And I know it seems as though people with tattoos, because they're on our body so overtly, it sounds like we want them to be a source of engagement. We don't. We actually don't want to talk about them. It's body customization, and we often do it for ourselves. And so most people will say that's not the best conversation starter, especially if I don't know someone, because they're really personal and you're trying to enter a conversation right from the door with a really personal question, and it feels very invasive. And so although it seems like a really obvious thing to start with, don't. Get to know someone first, and then you can comfortably say, hey, would you mind if I ask you questions about your tattoos? But if I don't know someone and they want to know what they are and they're already grabbing my arm to look at them, it's very uncomfortable, and I usually pull my arm back. So just know that. And then finally, no, I'm not a tattoo artist. And I think that's the first question. If someone's a lot of tattoos, you assume they're a tattoo artist, and they're not. But that's the way to work with that. So admire them from afar, but don't touch people. You also run a big risk of getting hit when you start touching someone without their permission. So just check in on that, right? And some people get really burnt out. People, again, that have diverse styles of hair and texture and whatnot. Like, people are a little too comfortable grabbing, touching, and pulling and commenting. So pull back on that one. Okay, so I wanted to share this with you. When I find articles like this, it's actually really disturbing and upsetting. 15 states, ready for this, where it's legal to fire someone for being gay. Not everyone's aware that there are places where you can be fired for being gay. We've talked about how there's other countries where you can be killed and imprisoned for being gay. But here in America, there are states where you can be fired for being gay. And so that's why I talk a lot about allyship and how important it is for people that want to help the community to not support people making jokes and not having people have to come out of the closet and just trying to really support a safer environment. Because like I said, these things exist. So let's look at some of them. Virginia, Texas, Missouri, North Carolina, Arkansas. I mean, 15 different states where if it's found out that you're gay, you can be fired. Could you imagine? Imagine if you had to hide your heterosexuality because if someone found out, you'd be fired. That means you can't have photos on your desk of your same-sex partner. That means when people ask you about your weekends, you might have to lie. You might have to be careful how you present at work and do what we call code switching, where you might talk with a different tone of voice or in different words so people don't possibly think that you're gay. And all that really starts to erode at your mental health and your self-esteem and your sense of just general safety. So sit with that. I mean, really sit with that. Imagine getting fired and having to hide photos and talk differently and present differently because you fear for your job and being able to pay your bills. We still live in that world, so we got to get better about that. All right, so later in the show, we're going to be doing our Sex Ed Showdown, where two listeners are going to go head-to-head and battle each other out. And our question of the night, which again is, what song title best describes your sex life? Oh yeah, after this.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline, we'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Loveline's got the question of the night up on our IG page. Songs that basically explain your sex life. Oh yeah, your sex life and a song title. Let me break that down later in the show, and also we'll be playing our Sex Ed Showdown, where two listeners go head-to-head to win a Channel Q prize package. If you want to play next week, though, hit us up on our Loveline DMs, letting MEQ, the producer, know that you want to play in the Sex Ed Showdown, and we'll book you for next week. All right, but before we get to that, guess what? It's that time to slide on into the DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
It's brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms. It's a big old sexy world out there, so explore it with confidence. Here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris. My girl and I have been dating for a year. I'm 31. She's 24. I always initiate sex. She never does, and it makes me feel unwanted. I'm not ugly, I take care of myself, and we talked about this. She said I'm faster to initiate. Huh, I haven't heard that one yet. I asked her if she was cheating on me. Wow, here we go. I asked her if she was cheating on me and having sex with other guys. She was upset and we almost had a fight. We talked about this 1,000 times. She said I'm always complaining about her and she asked why I'm with her. Because she's trying to please in every way, but I'm too demanding and never satisfied with us. She also doesn't orgasm and I feel like a loser. I stopped talking about orgasms because I gave up. I don't know what to do anymore. I'm thinking about breaking up. I love her, but all this mess with my self-esteem makes me feel insecure. I even think about cheating on her. She's doing it too. What do I do? Wow, there's a lot in that question. A lot to unpack in there. Okay, let's go in. First off, it's appropriate for one to not want to always be the initiator. And y'all, I don't care what your gender is. It's appropriate for everyone to initiate sexually. We all want to feel desired and desirable. So you have my support in saying to your partner of whatever gender they are, hey, I also want to have sexual desire coming at me. I also want to feel desirable. All of our self-esteem is tied to the way we feel our partner thinks and feels about us, right? It's not self-esteem. There's no such thing. It's relational esteem. How we feel about ourselves is an accumulation of how other people tell us and reflect back our value and our worth. So yeah, keep asking for that. I think it's totally appropriate. I don't understand the whole thing about, you know, her saying you're faster to initiate. There's no rush. There's no right speed. So it's appropriate for you to say, hey, when you have the desire, approach me. I don't always want to be initiating. Because again, we have to remember, and I've said this before, not all hetero men are tops. Some are bottoms or more submissive or more passive. And some women need to be the top or the assertive one. And that's legit. So there's that piece. Then about you asking if she's cheating on you, that can be moving in a little bit into emotional abuse. Back off of that. If you really do think that she's having extra relational sex, talk about that, but not in the middle of an argument about who's initiating sex, because it comes off as though you're trying to be a little abusive or manipulative or reassert your power. So if that really is an issue, have that as a loving conversation at another time and another day when things are chill. I'm not a fan of people folding in all these different issues while they're quote unquote at it, like one thing at a time, very calmly. So pull that out of there. Now, the whole thing about, gosh, there's a lot in here about her not orgasming. Is she complaining about that? Because if she isn't, you need to back off of that. I don't want you to create anxiety in her where she's going to start forcing her body into something or having to fake orgasms because your self-esteem is tied to making her orgasm. You got to get over that and let that go. Sexual pleasure can occur without orgasm. Sexual pleasure should not always have to require orgasm, right? And not everyone orgasms from penetration. So I want to make sure that you're doing other forms of stimulation, because penetration is not the main way that vaginal owners orgasm, FYI. Good luck. There are the gems I give off to you in the world. Presented by Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world. Explore with confidence. See you back.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline. We'll be right back. Loveline.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Question of the night up on our Loveline IG page. It's song titles that describe your sex life. Oh yeah, that makes it real. Okay, surefire ways to kill a relationship. I'm sure we're all doing a few of these. It's important to recognize so we can make some changes. But before we get into those, the number one, if you really want to just go right in there and torpedo the heck out of it, be unfaithful. That is still the number one cause of divorce. Hasn't shifted, hasn't changed. Still number one. So you can just skip everything I'm about to say and just go right for that if you're trying to take a relationship down. But if you're not, these are ways to self-reflect. Again, this isn't about calling out your partner. This is about you really assessing yourself and saying, oh, wow, am I doing these things? And how can I change and be better? Because that's what the work is really about. It's never about what can I do to change the person I'm with. It's how can I change myself, right? Because our partners are always responding to what we're contributing. It's a feedback loop. It's a cycle. And that's what's powerful, though, is that you can just change yourself and that will inherently change who your partner is relating to. And it will change how they relate to you because of that. Bam. Okay, let's go all in. So the first thing that people do, and we have to stop doing, is when you just make a general accusation about the person as a human and their character based on something that's upsetting. So when things go wrong, instead of saying, you never listen, or you always dot, 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 or this is so typical of you, don't make it personal. Just talk about the issue. Talk about what happened. Because otherwise, you are attacking the person and they're going to get defensive. So pull back on that, about making these gross generalizations about who the person is. Then we tend to also go what we call into stonewalling. That's when we're non-responsive. When someone comes to you that you're in a relationship with and they want to talk about what's going wrong or what it feels like to be in a relationship with you, you want to be available and listen. Stonewalling is when you shut it down and block it. And the studies show that that's most often done by people that are male identified or lesbians. Oh yes, they're stonewallers. Moving after that, a big thing I always remind people is you want to make requests, not criticisms. So if you want something to change, instead of criticizing the person, make a request. So a request sounds like, hey, could you take out the trash more often? You're not saying anything about the person. You're not criticizing who they are. You're not saying what they do wrong. You're just letting them know what you're looking to see change. It's a lot easier to hear that. People don't get defensive. So again, make requests. After that, it's also about you want to continue to share. Couples get a little comfortable. Schedules get a little busy and wild. People get tired of working long hours and they stop sharing with each other about what's going on in their lives. It's called intimacy building. It's really important. So definitely take time and continue to share what happened with your day, what you're thinking, what's on your mind. You don't want things to get just centered around the kids and what's going wrong and bills, right? That will really start to flatten a relationship. Also, things that start to kill relationships are when you start always denying sex. Said this before, say it again, and I'll keep saying it. You got to be open to doing something. When a partner makes a bid for your attention in terms of intimacy, whether it's sensuality, eroticism, or affection, if you're not open to what they're looking for, be open to some form of connection. Hey, no, I'm not open to sex tonight, but come here and cuddle with me. No, I'm not looking to do oral, but come, let me hold your hand or I'll give you a massage. In some way, connect with them so they don't stop making a bid for your attention, because then we have a bigger problem when they stop seeking you out for these needs to get met. Also, don't bottle up those feelings. It's all about being expressive, lovingly, safely, but you want to share what's going on. There's nothing more destructive and sad than working with a couple in my office where they've been unhappy. No one shared that or expressed it. They've kept it to themselves. Resentment has built, and they turn to their partner and they say, I'm leaving. And they never brought them in on what was going on in the beginning so that things could change or things could be discussed. They kept it to themselves. It became too much, and then they need to leave. That's quite punishing and damaging. Also, having different life goals. Relationships can seem perfect in the beginning, but if neither one's willing to make sacrifices and you have different goals, it's not going to necessarily go well if you're going in different directions. And finally, the complaining. You got to focus on the positive. Sometimes it's really easy to only talk about what's going wrong and what feels bad and taking that to your partner, but also call out what's going good. Catch them doing loving, beautiful things. Share those things. Just check in with what's feeling awesome. Let them know what felt really good that they said or did that day or that week. It's really important to have that positive reinforcement. And the ways to work against all this, forgiveness. That's what relationships are. Just cycles of forgiveness over and over, because that's what you got to do, because you're dating a person and they're going to let you down over and over. All right, when we come back, we're going to be doing Sex Ed Showdown. That's right. That's when two listeners battle it out to win a Channel Q prize package. That's right. And if you want to be on the air to battle it out next week, hit up MEQ on our Loveline socials. See you back.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline. We'll be right back.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Loveline.
This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Question of the night up on our Loveline IG page. It's what song best describes your sex life? We'll be breaking that down when we come back. But guess what? It is time for Sex Ed Showdown. Now, we have two listeners that are going to be going head-to-head, testing their sex IQ to win a Channel Q prize package, and it could be you for our next one. But in the meantime, we have Michael on the phone. Michael, you there? Oh, we're gonna get Michael back on the phone. I'm telling you, game night's a big deal. We lose people, but they'll be back. Ah, we are professionals. Just took a while. Okay,
professionals.
Here's how the game goes. One at a time, I'm gonna bounce back and forth, ask you each a question, multiple choice. And the winner wins a prize package. So we're going to start with Michael. Michael, first question. The average male orgasm lasts how many seconds? 6, 10, or 15? 6 seconds, 10 seconds, or 15? Don't Google.
I want to say 10.
You would be wrong. 6 seconds, but I like that you tried. All right, Luis, the average speed of sperm during ejaculation is 28 miles per hour, 5 miles per hour, or 30 miles per hour. Is it 28, 5, or 30 miles per hour?
It was going to be 28 miles an hour.
You are good, Luis. But, Michael, I'm rooting for you. Come on, Mike. We got more questions. You can circle back. You got this. During 30 minutes of active sex, the average person burns how many calories? 300, 200, or 500 calories?
I'll say 300.
No! Come on, Michael! That's all right. You'll have another chance. All right, Luis, you're up. You're up to bat. The state where couples have the shortest lovemaking sessions, is it Alaska, New Jersey, or Idaho?
I'm going to go with Idaho.
You would be wrong. It is Alaska. All right, Michael, that was good for you. That was good for you. So it's still zero, Michael, one, Louise, but you can come back. You can come back. The state where couples... Oh, just said that one. Okay, here we go. The state where couples have the longest lovemaking session, the longest, is it New York, New Mexico, or Montana?
I'll go ahead and say New York.
No, I would have thought that too. Unfortunately, it was New Mexico. All right, Louise.
City that never sleeps. I don't know.
I mean, I would have said the same thing, so credit for that one. All right, Louise, you're up, buddy. All right, according to Pornhub, the kinkiest state is the kinkiest state, Delaware, Vermont, or Wyoming?
Oh, I know this one.
Come on, man.
Say it again.
Yeah, is the kinkiest state Delaware, Vermont, or Wyoming?
It's got to be Wyoming.
That's correct. Oh man. Yes. All right. Michael, you're up. Although it's not looking good for you, we're still going to give you a final question. It's impossible for you to win, but let's give you that question anyway because you're hanging in there. The average female... this is a good one for you, Michael. This one was written for you. The average female orgasm lasts how many seconds? 10, 20, or 30?
10.
No,
it's 20. Oh, my God.
Michael, you got to keep listening to Love Line. You got to keep listening.
Louise. Wait, I think I know that one.
Yeah, what was the answer?
It's got to be up to 30.
No, it's 20.
Damn.
Y'all think you know. You all think you know.
I got cocky.
All right. So the winner is Louise. Louise, you win the Channel Q prize package.
Yes.
Michael, we love you. Sadly, there's no consolation prize other than you get to keep listening every night.
Thank you.
Thank you both for playing. When we come back, we are going to be breaking down the question of the night, which is what song best describes your sex life? It's going to get real. It might get dark. It might get funny. We'll find out. We'll see you back.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline. We'll be right back. Loveline.
Loveline.
With Dr. Chris.
On Channel Q.
Question of the night time. What song best describes your sex life? Yeah, self-reflection. Sometimes you don't like the answers you come up with, but you learn about yourself. You know what I mean? All right, let's see what you guys said. Oh, we're starting good. Song that reminds you of your sex life. Don't threaten me with a good time. Mm-hmm. That's a classic. It's a good one. I didn't know that was actually a real song, though. I thought that was just like a funny thing that people slung around. Oh, here we go. You're talking my language. Songs that describe your sex life. Big Empty. Now, I only say that because I work like 14-hour days. So I'm with you and I'm traveling on the weekends. Which, by the way, let me just use this little segue. I'm on my book and lecture tour on the weekends. I'll be coming to Dallas, not this weekend, but the weekend after, and then Austin, a whole bunch of places. Go on my social media. I keep forgetting to tease that stuff, so thank you. But that's why I'm also the Big Empty. So I feel your pain. Someone's slinging around one of my least favorite artists. Song that describes their sex life. Mariah Carey, they said, Bliss, Finally. She has a song called Bliss and a song called Finally. Is that what that means? I don't know. I'm not a fan. Okay, someone else said Gorillaz by Bruno Mars. I'm not familiar with that song, but I'm down. Sex life, Gorillaz, it describes it. I'd love to actually hear a little bit more. I think I need backstory on that one. So if you are listening, which you better be, 833-LOVE-001. I would love to know how that applies, but I'm with you. I like it. Gorillaz. Oh, here's a good one. Tears of a Clown. Tears of a Clown describes your love life. Again, not 100% sure what that means, but darkness and sadness ensues, right? Yeah, it's not always sunshines and rainbows. I know. Sex is a little bit of everything. Oh, here, I know this one. A song that describes your sex life. Someone said Shallow. I'm thinking that's the Lady Gaga song, right?
Yeah.
Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing, as per that song? It's sad? It's bad? It's a sad thing, not positive? Okay. Yeah, I'm not... I mean, I've heard the song, but I don't know what the lyrics are really saying, but okay. Someone said Play By David Banner. I'm not sure I understand that. I don't get it.
I know. It's a dirty one.
It's a dirty one. Okay. I'm going to have to listen to that. I'm not familiar with the song or the artist. Oh, this is a good one. Song that describes your sex life. Someone said, Love Galore by SZA. Yeah, good one, good one. This one I don't know either. Someone said B.E.D. by Jacquees. Here's one. Like a Virgin. Ah, yes. Literally, or just like you're going back. Did a little 180. Yeah, it happens sometimes. My fingers crossed that they got more to come. Oh, someone else said Nothing Really Matters. Oh, I know that one. That's a Madonna throwback, I think.
It's Metallica.
Oh, that's Nothing Else Matters. Well, whatever. We'll figure it out. Oh, here's a good one. I relate to this one as well. Dancing on My Own. Little Robin. Yeah. Robin's a fan of the Channel Q. She's in the Channel Q family. Someone said Needy. Not familiar with that song, but I'm with you. Somebody said, this is amazing, actually. This is one of my favorite answers because they completely swooped in and clarified. Song that describes their love life, they said the song is Smack My Bitch Up, but in parentheses, they clarified and said, consensually. Consensually only. I'm with you, sister. That is exactly what I'm thinking. Well done. Because we're all about consent and boundaries on Loveline. Okay, songs that describe your sex life. One is The Loneliest Number. Here's a good one. The Safety Dance. Oh, we need to play the safety dance on this station. I love that song. Someone said, you can't always get what you want. Ain't that the truth? This one is probably my favorite of the night yet. Describe your sex life with a song title, Stink Fist by Tool. I'm not 100% what Stink Fist means, but I'm with you. Me too. I want to get it on that party. I haven't heard someone reference Tool in a very long time.
That's so funny.
Oh, that's amazing. Someone else said Do It Alone by Kid Cudi. Oh, this is a good one. Describing your sex life with a song, a listener said Stacey's Mom. That song was everywhere for at least a solid year. That was like one of those iconic summer songs, Stacey's Mom. Bless, I haven't heard that in forever. Oh, another throwback. Someone said, song that describes their sex life is Chumbawamba's Tub Thumping. Ah, yes, that's a good one. Someone said, Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger. Okay. Someone's getting it in. You know what I mean? I don't know who sings that song, but that's my goals for the weekend. Is Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger. That's Daft Punk? Oh, I love Daft Punk. Clearly not enough. Wait a second. We have another Prodigy Smack My Bitch Up. Y'all got to stop creeping on other people's answers. Come on. How's that? This one did not say consensually. It better be consensually, though. Someone said, Just Can't Get Enough by Depeche Mode. I'm with it. The Great Disappointment by AFI. Aw, heart goes out to you. We're going to have Davey Havoc on the show, though, so stand by for that one. Yes, Davey Havoc, if you're listening, I'm coming for you. You work out at the same gym I do, and I'm going to creep up on you while you're doing your stretches and get you on Loveline. So I'm even going to try to get it on video, but I've been challenged by our producer, MEQ, to get Davey Havoc on the gym. And yes, he does go to my gym. We stretch next to each other. He's coming on the show. Just don't know when, but I'm going to make it happen. All right. We're going to take a break. But when we come back, the DMs, slide back in those DMs. We got a good one. So stick around.
Call Loveline now.
833-LOVE-001. That's 833-568-3001. Loveline. We'll be right back.
Loveline. 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 Loveline.
This is Loveline with Dr. Chris.
On Channel Q.
All right. It's that time. Time to slide into them DMs. Sliding into the DMs. It's brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world out there. We want you to explore it with confidence. All right, here we go. Oh, before I actually read the ones that just came in, I wanted to bounce one off that I saw somewhere on the IG. Someone wanted to know what the I stands for in LGBTQIA. I think MEQ on the Loveline posted it or something. Yeah. So just want to weigh in on that, because I know that it's a big acronym. There's a lot of letters and people are like, what do all these things mean? The I means intersexed. bum-ba-da-bum-bum. Because what's happened is it's about inclusivity and it's not all centered around sexual orientation. So there's things in there that have to do with sexual orientation, gender identity, and just sexuality and anatomy. Like it's all kind of collapsed in there. And so that's why that pops itself in there. Because trans isn't about sexual orientation either. And that's in there, right? It's gender. So anyway, yes. And it keeps getting bigger and bigger so that people feel represented. I know some people are burnt out on all the letters. And that's why we've put the little plus at the end. But it goes on. And I'm thankful for it. Okay. So a DM. Here we go. Dear Dr. Chris, I dated my ex for 5 years. And now she has moved or started to move on, but still texts me every now and then. Last night, I went to a club and I saw her best friend. They only started becoming friends after we broke up. She ran into me and started talking to me and she started holding my hand. A couple hours later, I ran into her again where she started stroking my suit jacket and became very flirty. What signal was she trying to give off there? I think we know. Use the word flirty. But no shade. She's absolutely gorgeous and she kept looking at me the whole time, the whole night. My ex texted me early in the morning asking why did I talk to her when the best friend approached me. Okay. Should I ask the girl out on a date? Question mark. She seems interested and my ex says not to go after her friends. But my train of thought was, what kind of friend is that for a hit on and talk to me? Thoughts? Well, so, okay. If the girl hit on you and then went home and told her friend, who's your ex, that she did that, I would love to know what that conversation sounded like. But your ex then swooped back in and said, why did you talk to her? And you're saying that maybe it's okay because if she hit on you, then what kind of friend is she to your ex? I don't know. I'm all about ethical dating. And that means that we consider the impact all of our decisions have on other people and people that are important to us, right? So that's really my answer. And you have to kind of sit with what your ethics are. If to date this girl would harm your ex, you have to sit with that. Is your ex someone that's important to you? Do her feelings matter to you? Is she someone you want a continued relationship with? Because if so, then I would not ask this girl out. And if this girl is really good friends with your ex and she's still willing to flirt with you, does that say anything about her ethics? And if they're not great, do you want to bring someone like that into your life? Right? There's a lot to consider. Again, it's based on just your ethics and whether or not you think it's okay to hurt people. So if you're cool with asking her out because she's hot and that's all that matters, have at it. But it seems like she's not a very good person to your ex who's her friend by hitting on you. So I don't know. You got to struggle with that one. I don't think it's okay. I'd say there's a lot of attractive people out in the world. Go find someone else, right? Neutralize. Okay, we got another one. Dear Dr. Chris, I'm dating a guy. We've been together for roughly a month. He's wonderful in so many ways, and we both feel a strong connection. We hang out once during the week, and usually both Saturday and Sunday. Often after work on the weekday, we'll hang out, and he'll say he usually gets quite quiet after work because he's tired. However, I haven't seen any evidence of this until last night. Went to dinner last night, and afterwards, he just laid on my lap and fell asleep. Tried to be intimate with him, but he said he was too tired. A similar thing happened on Sunday afternoon after we turned from a long bicycle ride. Came back to my place and just slept for a few hours. I'm craving quality time with him, and I feel disappointed every time he just wants to sleep when we're together. In the past, if someone had done that to me, I would have verbalized it with them. However, I think the problem here is more my reaction. Do I bring it up with him, or do I actually go make myself busy and less available to him so that when we do spend time together, it's quality time because we don't think we'll catch up again? What do you think? I'm not a fan of game playing manipulation ever. So I would never say that you should lie about how available or busy you are in order to seem that way so that they'll take their time with you more seriously. Because then you have to maintain that. And it doesn't really solve whatever the true issue is. It's either this person doesn't have a high sex drive, got to talk it out. Or this person, again, is coming to see you because they want to spend some time with you after having had too long and too busy of a day. And they need to know that. Let them know it's a compliment. I want to spend more time with you, more quality time with you. Again, it's a compliment. And let them know that usually, though, when they see you, they seem quite tired. And is there a better time? Right? Maybe you guys shouldn't be hanging out during the week. I know I got long weeknights and I'm not the best one to try to hang out with either. But bring it forward. Don't play game. Don't manipulate. Bring it up. It's a sign of respect and it gives them a chance to win and be a part of the solution, right? Without making decisions for them. There you go. All right. That's our show. You guys have an awesome weekend, an awesome safe weekend. We'll be back Monday night, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Have a good night.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.